after all that conversation about food, I am starving.
I'm with you, sister. I'm dying. I mean, the Food Network.
Oh, Chopped. Hey, Sharon, have you ever watched Chopped?
Lucy, I haven't. You know I don't have any cable.
Well, you got to get cable or either come to my house and watch Chopped. It's this great show about these executive chefs that come together to win the prize, you know, top Chopped chef.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
I thought it was an interesting idea.
And they had this basket that's got all these bizarre foods, and sometimes there's common things like a fish or something, but it's got a real fancy name.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's like licorice or gummy bears or something like that.
Yeah.
They've got to come up. They have to use all the ingredients that are in the basket, and they have to come up with something
fabulous. Yes.
To dazzle the judges with, you know. And it's just amazing. So I got to thinking about that when we were talking to our guest here in the studio today.
Yes.
And so I thought that was just a great conversation, but made me really hungry.
Well, I'm hungry too, Lucy, but we'll go in there and devour that chicken in just a minute. You're going to have to start the show.
Okay, I guess we better start the show.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. It's the Cancer Survivor Show. This is Sharon and Lucy, and we are
the Chemo Girls.
So, Sharon, seriously, we have in the house today somebody that's very special to you. And it was just the conversation of food came up, and I'll let you tell everybody what that's all about.
Okay. Well, we have my dear friend Allie Murray here with us today, and the food topic came up because sister is a rockin' chef. Seriously, she loves food, she loves to make food, and she loves to talk about food, and I'm like all in for that mess. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Except Allie, I'm on a diet right now, so all this stuff that she was talking about fixing, I can't eat, so it's like made me even hungrier.
Yeah, well, but when we close out the show, we'll get her to talk about high-protein meals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Allie Murray is a longtime friend of ours, and we go to church together. Our families have the same home church, as a matter of fact, and as she's significantly younger than I am, but she does teach culinary arts at the Ware County High School.
Mm.
Super awesome. So, welcome to the show, Miss Allie.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
And thanks for putting up with our craziness today. I think we're feeling exceptionally silly today. So, Allie, I wanted to first ask you, what are a couple of interesting things that our viewers should know about you?
I'm a pretty happy person. I always have a smile on my face. And I'm very open.
Yes, you are.
I'm very open. I'm like an open book.
Yeah.
If you want to know something, I'll tell you.
Well, and I think that those two things combine really. When I see you in a room, I know my immediate response is to like feel warm and fuzzy and happy when I see your smiling face.
Oh.
True story. So the reason we're here can be kind of a tough topic, though, and I think you are the perfect person to share on this topic because even though it's very hard, I think that you really have the benefit of retrospect. You know, you are the child of someone who was diagnosed with cancer, your mother, when you were 11, and unfortunately, your mother did lose her battle with cancer. And I think that you have just such, you're perfectly positioned to speak to not only a child whose parent has been diagnosed, but also to a parent who's been diagnosed who, you know, needs to speak with their child and relate to their child and understand how the child might feel throughout their treatment. So thank you for being such an open book on such a difficult topic.
Well, thank you. It's no problem.
So first, let's start off with maybe you can tell me a couple of things about your mother, about what she was like and what life was like with her.
Well, I'd have to say that my mom is I'm pretty much just like my mom. She had a very bubbly personality, kind of the go-to person, you know, type of person that never says no. And just a very friendly, very welcoming woman, you know. I laugh a lot, but I do know that she used to smile a lot. And I'm sure, you know, she laughed a lot too. So we're kind of like the same person, but, you know, we have the same personality, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I can see that. I know. I remember that your mother was going through this about the same time I was going through this. I had heard through the grapevine because I didn't live in the same town at that time. So if you would just kind of quickly go through what happened from the time your mother was diagnosed, like how did that hit you and what happened logistically speaking?
My mom was diagnosed in 2004, and a year later, March 2005, she passed away with colon cancer. When she was first diagnosed, I, you know, became to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. He was kind of my rock during this hard time. I also, during this time, you know, came to understand God's will. And, you know, knowing that he has a plan for all of our lives, it really didn't hit me that he had planned for all of our lives till actually after she died. So the night that she died, I kind of just gave it all to him, and I knew that whatever happens is, you know, it's part of his will. You know, we live day to day, and regardless of what we do, it's a part of his plan. Whether or not we're taken today or tomorrow, or if we're taken by cancer or anything else that's, you know,
right,
tragic, I guess you could say.
Right. So I've kind of wondered, knowing now what life has taught you, having gone all the way through the experience, if you are able to meet that little 11-year-old girl in her room and sit down beside her on her bed and have a heart-to-heart with her. To start with, what do you think she'd say to you? What do you think her fears would be? What do you think her feelings? I mean, you know what that is. How did you feel? What were you afraid of at the time?
Well, first off, I mean, of course I was scared. I mean, you know, finding out that your mom has a terminal illness is not very exciting at all.
No.
And, you know, I think as an 11-year-old, too, I didn't really understand what was all going on, you know. I just knew, I mean, you hear of cancer and you're like, whoa, you know, it's scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, too, when I was 11, I would have never thought that I would be going through what I was going through. So I think as an 11-year-old, talking to my 21-year-old self, I would say, why is this happening to me, you know?
Right.
And I think that's the same for an actual cancer patient, too. You know, why do I have to go through this? Why does my mom have to go through this?
Right. And I think that's a very valid question.
So, Allie, kind of on the reverse of that, sitting in that room as an 11-year-old, is there anything that your mom could have said to you that maybe she didn't think to say at the time that you, in looking back, you would have helped you?
Well, see, you know, I was thinking of this, and my mom, when she was diagnosed, she was told that she had cancer, but she was never really told that it was, you know,
as bad as it was.
Mm-hmm. And, she actually didn't know that she wasn't getting better. You know, she was actually getting worse, but the doctors kept saying that she was getting better. And I think that was just for her own good, to keep her fighting. But I wish they would have told her, because I feel like regardless of your situation, I think it's a good idea to journal and maybe talk about the things that you would want to talk about with your child, you know, if you're going to make it, if you're not going to. And I just, you know, wish that maybe she would have told me some things, and I really don't know the specifics of what she would tell me. But, you know, with each chapter of my life, I feel like there's probably a tidbit that my mom could tell me. Like, you know, from graduating high school, or I haven't gotten married yet, but, you know, just a tidbit of whenever I get married, or something for whenever I have my first child, or, you know, little things like that that you really don't think about as a young child.
Right.
But I wish that my mom would have left something for that. Mm-hmm. I know there was this show called The Big C. Mm-hmm. Have you ladies seen it?
I have not.
I haven't either.
It is probably one of the best shows I've ever seen. And me and my brother watched it together. It's about this woman who has cancer, and they thought she was going to die. And she, like, turned in her retirement. She got all of her retirement money, and she bought this storage unit. And she bought this car. But she started buying cards, birthday cards, and graduation presents, and she put all this stuff in this one storage unit. And I'm giving this away for y'all, so y'all are going to like be like, why did you give this away?
Oh, don't worry. I have chemo brain. I won't remember this in 10 minutes.
But so at the end of the season, she does end up dying. And her son had asked, you know, for some money, and she had to go out, or she was going somewhere, did she die? I can't remember if she died or not, so I'm leaving you there. He went to her purse to grab some money because he wasn't the best son in the world. And he noticed that there was a key to this storage unit. So he drove out to this storage unit, and when he opened it, he saw that everything in there was for him. And it kind of just like clicked in his mind that, wow,
she's not going to be here.
She's not going to be here. And he just sat there and sobbed. And me and my brother, Josh, were just sitting on the couch just boohooing because, I mean, we wish we would have had that. And not saying that our mom wasn't, you know, wasn't able to do that. But, you know, some people were just not as creative. So, right. I think.
And she really didn't know her status either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was something when I saw that, I was like, man, how neat would it be to open up a card on my wedding day that was from my mom?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That would have been neat.
Yeah. So some good advice for folks out there.
Yeah. I think regardless of your situation, whether or not it's good or bad, I mean, you could write the letter and then seal it and save it and then write another letter if, you know, if you make it through your battle. I think it's a learning experience for everyone. And I never want to speak against someone, you know, speak against them that, you know, they're not going to make it or things like that. But I think it's good to have that door open too, because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I hate to say that. Is that bad to say?
No. It's not. It's, you know, you're speaking from your own experience. And the sad truth is some people make it and others don't.
Yeah.
You know, and I think personally that I listened to a woman earlier today talk about her children were small when she was going through her struggle. And it's been many years now. But there were years, long periods of time where she couldn't pick her children up and stuff. And so she decided to compile all of her story into a book. She says she felt like she could save them a fortune in counseling. Why my mother didn't hold me when I was little. Well, it had to do with, you know, all this surgery that she was going through.
Yeah.
I think sometimes recording this stuff, whether you're here or not here, may answer a lot of questions for your children later. Because you aren't able to parent the way you would want to parent going through treatment even.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, you know, going through, I found out when I was in sixth grade that she had cancer. So going through middle school, I went through sixth grade knowing that she had cancer. most of 7th grade, her still alive, and then half of 7th grade, you know, she passed away. And then 8th grade, you know, without a mom and on up. So, I mean, you know, the most, I guess you could say the most crucial years of my teenhood was without a mom. And, you know, I think that's when most girls need their moms most.
I think so, too.
Before, you know. But I'm very thankful at the same time because during those years, knowing that God had a will for my life and a plan for me, that's when me and my dad developed our relationship.
Well, and I think that even though obviously you would want your mom to be around, I did see some pretty amazing women who were placed in your life.
Oh, yeah.
When you were a teenager, not to fill the gap, but to fill some gaps for you.
Yeah, I think God placed, I'm not going to name them because I would probably miss a few, but, you know, God put specific women in mm-hmm. my life for specific reasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not necessarily as a mom figure, but just kind of a good woman role model, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And that was very helpful. I still have those women in my life. I mean, you know, most mm-hmm. of those women in my life today, and I even have a few that I look at as, you know, they're like my mom. I even call one my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah,
God just puts those people in your life.
And I think that might be a really good point as well. I would love to get your feedback on this. But I think that sometimes that when you lose a parent to something like this, that you almost have to give yourself permission to allow yourself to bond to somebody with whom you may have a parent-like relationship. I think sometimes it can feel almost like cheating, or you're replacing, or you are minimizing what your parent was to you.
Yeah, it wasn't difficult for me, but at the same time, you have to keep in the back of your mind, you have to remember that other family members, because, you know, some would just assume that's their role now.
Yeah.
And you don't want to make them feel like they're unwanted or unworthy of being that person in your life.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, my grandmother, you know, I think she would try to assume that role for my mom when my mom passed away. But I have to remind her, Ganga, you're just my Ganga.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I call my grandmother.
That's your role, and it's a great role. It's just, you know, not the same thing.
I want you to be my Ganga, not mm-hmm. my mama.
Yeah.
You know?
I do. Yeah. And something I haven't really shared on the show is that our oldest son, we adopted him when he was 4, and that was a year that his mother passed with cancer. And so that's something he's really struggled with, is for him, he still to this day does not understand how you're supposed to have two mothers. And yeah. He will not allow himself to, it's like he's cheating on her. Although she handpicked us. Her church came in and did like an adoption marriage where he was standing in the middle and she held one hand and I held the other, and they had vows and asked her, do you entrust these people to love and care for your son and to be his parents for the rest of his life? And she said yes, and we answered to our vows how we would be forever dedicated to him and that he would be our son and entitled to any birthright that a natural born son would have. And we did everything we knew how to do to make this as clear as possible for him, but she was still gone.
Mm-hmm.
She was still gone. And, you know, all we've been able to do is just continue to love him. You know, everybody processes all this so differently.
Yeah. Well, for me, at the same time, too, my dad hasn't remarried. So I really haven't had that, you know, a woman to assume that role, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's been easier for God to just place women in my life instead of...
That you had a little bit of choice in.
Yeah, and not really, well, this is your new mom.
Yeah. Well, and how do you think you would have responded
Well, you know,
to that?
I pray that, you know, God will put that woman in my dad's life, and I just prayed and hoped that, you know, God will put whoever is fit for him and fit for us. Mm-hmm. Because I think if it's not a perfect mesh, then, you know, it would be difficult. And, you know, there's a saying, I think, after you have kids and you're dating, you're not just dating that person, you're dating their kids too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to make sure that the kids get along with whoever.
Yeah. Right. Good advice.
Mm-hmm. Very good advice. So do you have just a pearl of wisdom, maybe not even necessarily on this topic, but maybe a mantra or something that you kind of live by for our listeners?
Well, I don't want to end on this, but I know this sounds bizarre, and I know that this was something that my dad told me, and I just... Nope. Threw my hands in the air and said, nope, I'm not doing it. I highly recommend talking to someone.
Mm-hmm.
If you find out your parent has cancer, or if you have cancer, I think it's very wise to talk to a counselor. You know, for me, mm-hmm. my dad, he told me for years that I was depressed, and I was like, nope, I am not depressed. I am not depressed.
Willing that not to be so.
Not depressed.
Yes.
And, you know, as an adult, I can look back at my life and say, whoa, I was depressed. You know? And not saying that it would have changed my life any differently, but just, you know, being able to express how I feel. I'm okay with my mother's death, but being okay and going through life is two different things mm-hmm. for me. So I guess you could say my pearl of wisdom would be God walks through our lives with him holding our hands. It's okay if we have someone else holding our hand as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Especially here, you know, while we're here on earth.
Because you know... And I'm sure a million people have told you this. I know as a mother, if something were to happen to me, I get my kids would be upset. But I would want them to thrive in life. I would.
Yeah.
I would want them to get to a place where they were able to thrive. And so, you know, you want to be able to do that.
And then I guess for me too, as an adult, and I think this is me as I was growing up, I know that after my mom died, I wasn't the best student mm-hmm. that I could be. And, you know, for me now as an adult, I always kind of remind myself, am I doing something that would make my mom proud?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same as even if your mom hasn't passed away or your dad, if it's the flip situation, am I making my mom proud? Or am I making my dad proud?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the question that, you know, really we ask ourselves all the time. And I guess in different situations it can be different. Different kids could take it differently. You know, you just have to remind yourself before you're doing something, is this pleasing to my mom? Not only to, you know, to my mom, is this pleasing to God too?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it does. And I think, you know, the younger you are, the less able you are to manage your emotional state and all of that. And I think a lot of the times kids will act out or fold inward.
Yeah.
With this kind of thing. But as an adult being diagnosed with cancer, we talk all the time about the roller coaster of emotions that you go on. And just to take heart, because eventually it's going to even out and you're going to find your feet on the ground and I'm not going to say it's going to be okay, but you're going to be okay. You are going to be okay, and to allow yourself that.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to fall apart. Allow yourself
to get back
to
together.
Heal. Yeah. And to get back together and not to feel like I have to continually fall apart, or I've forgotten her, or I'm saying this wasn't a big enough deal, or I'm saying I didn't love her enough. Allow yourself to heal.
Yeah. Just because something horrible happens in your life doesn't mean that your life stops at that. I mean, you've got to sit down and make a list of goals and go for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, live. And after you've completed those goals, make some new goals. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you've got to live your life to the fullest. And, you know, I'm just beginning, it feels like, you know.
And you know, Allie, that would be a mama's love too.
Yes.
To know that her children were living life to the fullest.
Yeah.
I know that your mother would be so proud to see what I see every day in you.
Thanks.
So I'm going to get misty.
If you get misty, I'm going to get misty.
I won't do it. I think this is a good time to wrap the show, Lucy.
I think so. I'm looking for a not just surviving but thriving tidbit of the day.
Well,
girls,
I think that I may have one. My tidbit's going to be around my Sophie. Of course, I blogged on Sophie just recently.
That's right. It was a beautiful blog.
But that's really the heart of the tidbit. Sometimes when, you know, I worry a lot, Sophie is living with us, and she's a family member that is not my child. She's 5. And, you know, she has a tough situation.
Yes, she does.
And sometimes her tough situation, you know, I know it weighs on her, but it weighs on me.
Sure
you
does.
Know, I love her as if she's mine, and I worry about her little heart being broken, and I worry about what will become of her. But sometimes when my adult self is so oppressed in my worry for my precious Sophie, if I'll stop and get outside of myself, I can hear her infectious giggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because that child is thriving in the midst of her storm.
That's right.
She really is. She is like a little teacher for me.
Yeah.
And I should take this no more hard than she is. And I know her heartaches, don't get me wrong, that she is able to compartmentalize enough that she is gleaning joy from her life and thriving.
That's right.
I love that about her. So if I just allow myself to step out for a minute and observe Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sweet girl.
What we can learn from the mouths of babes.
That's right.
I think that was a beautiful tidbit today. Thanks for sharing
beautiful
with
girl.
Us, Sharon. And if anyone would like to read about Sophie in Sharon's blog, you can find our blogs at www.mychemococktailandme.com.
And you go under press, the press button
the
up
press
top,
button.
And you'll find blogs.
That's right. So, Allie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you again for having me.
It was a
thanks
delight.
For being so open about your feelings about your mama and how you dealt with her cancer and how your family dealt with her passing. And thank you for all the guidance that you gave to our listeners today concerning some of those things that you can do if a loved one is battling cancer.
And we know you'll be blessed just for extending yourself that way.
Well, thanks. And I also, I mean, please know that I have an open door that if, you know, anybody, I may not be much help, but some people may need a
thank
hearing
you.
Ear.
And if you have any comments, leave a comment on our website, www.thecancersurvivorshow.com, and we'll get that address to Allie and get it right back to you.
That's right.
So, guys, we're signing off for today. Be blessed. Have a wonderful weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And until the next time, this is Lucy and Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just surviving, but we're thriving
with you. Bye, guys.
Love you guys.